Just as a heads up for next week, we won't be having an episode next week. Unfortunately, I will be out of town, and or at least that's what it's looking like right now. I'll be out of town and unavailable. So unfortunately, no episode next week, but the week after should be back.
Most definitely. And if anything comes up, we will put it on Facebook. So we'll keep everybody in the loop.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Facebook.com/movies are a thing. I told you, I'm parched, man. I am parched.
Gotcha. Yeah, you are.
Movies Are a Thing is a weekly podcast going over the movies releasing this week
and whatever movie-related tangents we decide to venture off on today.
Hello and welcome to Movies Are a Thing. My name is John.
And I'm Travis, and here are the movies premiering this week.
But before we do that, Travis.
Yes, sir.
How's it going, man?
Good, man. How are you?
Oh, I'm peachy keen.
Oh, that's great.
Ba, ba, ba.
Okay. You almost got me there with that one. That was pretty good.
Thank you. I'm glad. How's your week been going, man?
It's been good. You know, same old, just been working at the old St. Michael Cinema. Other than that, we just got through our Dune weekend. So
very nice. How did it do?
It did very well.
Yeah.
Which was great to see because we needed the business.
Absolutely. So it was fantastic. I mean, it seems like you guys did pretty well even without the Dune popcorn bucket.
Oh, most definitely. We had a lot of people asking for it, too.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Do you guys have the Dune popcorn bucket? Like, no, I'm sorry, we don't.
That is an exclusive to another theater brand.
Yep, exactly.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good that it did well. Did you have a chance to go see it?
I did.
Okay. Thoughts?
I loved every minute of it.
Okay.
It is everything I wanted and then some.
Mm-hmm.
It fixed a lot of my complaints from the first one. It was a lot more action-packed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Less talking. It was a lot easier to kind of figure out who was where they were supposed to be and all this and that. So, like, in what families and all this and that. Like, to keep everybody straight and all this and that.
Okay.
So I was having a hard time with that when I first watched the first one.
Okay.
It was keeping everybody straight. But this one I had an easier time. I don't know if it was because I watched it in a movie theater instead of just at home or what. But it made it much more enjoyable. Just the visuals are amazing. I highly recommend it. If you have a chance to go watch it, see it on the biggest screen possible.
Very nice.
It is definitely worth it.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah, I know a lot of people are kind of in that same boat where, you know, the first one was very much a world-building kind of movie. So a lot of talking, a lot of exposition, a lot of, you know, just basically getting everything set up for the next movie, which was this one.
Definitely.
And, I mean, a lot of people didn't like the first one at all because of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I honestly very much enjoyed the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait to have a chance to go and see this one.
Sure.
Fortunately, I didn't have a chance. Unfortunately, I didn't have a chance to this past weekend.
Right.
Had some other stuff I was taking care of and, you know, having a good time with the family. So,
sure.
It was. It sounds like it was from everybody that I've heard, that they've really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And we do know just from talks that Denis has been working on the third one already.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case the second one does well, and I think it's going to do well.
I just have
this like premonition that it's probably going to do pretty well since it did close to $200 million the opening weekend here. It did like $185 million, I think is what I saw.
Okay.
Which, I mean, you know, that's like IMAX screens and stuff like that too.
Sure.
But, you know, it definitely has done very well, which I think they said was it did the same opening as Oppenheimer.
Oh, okay.
So Oppenheimer's opening weekend is about what Dune did.
Oh, nice.
For this weekend here.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's awesome. I guess I was just trying to think if it was as busy as it was for Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
And I think it was, if I remember correctly. I mean, that was all the way back in July, so.
Right. Yeah, that was like over half a year ago now.
You're right. No kidding.
Yeah, not too many other movies coming out in that time frame.
Yeah, no, not really. Hmm. That was like right when we were about to take our leave of absence too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because of the whole, you know, strike situation.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yep. That was, yeah, I think that was like right at the beginning of the strikes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or yeah, that was right after the strike started because we were going to talk about it, but then we couldn't.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. I remember that.
Yeah. So yeah, now we've got Dune 2 out. And like I said, we do know that Denis is working on Dune 3, which is, the book is titled Dune Messiah.
Okay.
Because Dune Part 1, Part 2 was technically just the first book.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have Dune Messiah. And then there is a third book in kind of like the main trilogy called Children of Dune.
Okay.
That I don't know. I think I saw something about Denis possibly working on a miniseries for that.
Ooh, okay.
I could be completely wrong on that, so I apologize if I am.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there was some sort of miniseries planned, because I know like Children of Dune has been done before on the Sci-Fi Channel, and I think that's the one that actually had James McAvoy in it.
Okay.
If you didn't know, James McAvoy was in a Dune movie / miniseries, and I think that was Children of Dune, and I think we've talked about that before too.
It sounds familiar, yeah.
Let me just double check here.
Okay.
James McAvoy, Dune. Son of Dune. I apologize.
Oh, okay.
Or sorry, yeah, Children of Dune. Yeah. Where he played Leto II Atreides.
Hmm.
So like I think the son of Paul Atreides.
Hmm. Okay.
So we'll have to see how that all goes. But we have, yeah, Dune Part 2 is doing pretty well. That's all I got.
Well, hopefully you'll be able to come in this next weekend and come see it.
Mm-hmm. That is the hope. Although I did watch a newer-ish movie that I've already seen.
Okay.
This weekend. I rewatched Dungeons & Dragons.
That's a great movie.
It is a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
And like even the people that really didn't know too much about Dungeons & Dragons that were watching the movie with us,
mm-hmm.
they had a lot of good laughs, too.
Oh, that's good.
Just because that movie is just, I feel like one of those movies where if you know the in-jokes, you have a great time, but if you don't know the in-jokes, you still have a pretty darn good time with all of just the regular jokes and,
oh, sure.
You know, kind of the slapstick and just the action and comedy that's happening in the movie itself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always nice to see.
Awesome.
But what do you think? Should we get into some of our movie news for this week?
Let's do it, man.
Fantastic. The first one that we have, unfortunately, is not a very happy news.
Oh, no. Okay.
That is the actor Richard Lewis has passed away from cancer.
Okay.
And so a lot of people know Richard Lewis from a lot of different places. For me, the big, big one, Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Yep. I haven't seen that in forever, but yeah, Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
I have a mole?
You're right.
But yeah, more recently he's been on Curb Your Enthusiasm,
mm-hmm.
Where he played a fictionalized version of himself. But
okay.
So April of last year, he revealed that he had, oh, sorry, not cancer. I apologize. Not cancer. Parkinson's disease.
Oh, okay.
He had been living with Parkinson's disease, since April of 2023, and he passed away after suffering a heart attack.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And he was 76.
Okay.
But, yeah, so Richard Lewis has passed away, which, you know, is definitely a sad day for, you know, comedy in general.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, I've never seen Curb Your Enthusiasm, but I have seen Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, we do have, you know, like I said, that sad news. But kind of moving on to, I guess, happier news,
mm-hmm.
at least for us, I know.
Sure.
Warner Brothers Discovery, we talked about this before, but Warner Brothers Discovery and Paramount were kind of starting up talks into a possible merger, but those talks have been halted.
Okay.
Basically, there was a pretty big uproar And I know David Zaslav, who is unfortunately the CEO of Warner Brothers, apparently has gone pencils down on a potential acquisition of Paramount Global.
Okay.
But I know Paramount is basically kind of looking for somebody to buy them out because they aren't doing too hot.
Right.
Because
weren't we talking about that a couple weeks ago?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, they're not doing too hot and basically looking for an infusion of cash to, you know, keep going, whether that's, you know, somebody buying them out or getting a stake or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I think it's good because, like, okay, here's kind of the thing. Like, competition, great. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you get every single company having, like, their own streaming platform. It's just unsustainable.
Sure, right.
100% unsustainable. And so, like, I think what would have been better is not having the studios get into the streaming business, but just have other companies be the streaming business and then kind of, you know, go from there.
Sure, okay.
So, like, you know, obviously something like Netflix or, like, even Blockbuster streaming, you know, kind of coming back into the game, that kind of thing. But then Netflix also staying out of the production part of things would have been nice. I don't know. This is just kind of my own personal thoughts and opinions on this. But, like, you know, now we're kind of getting into the thing where prices are going up for every single streaming platform. So if you want to get, you know, the stuff that's on one streaming platform, all of a sudden, 3 weeks later, it's not there anymore. It's on a different streaming platform. So you have to get that one. And then all of a sudden you have, you know, seven different streaming platforms and you're paying more than you were for cable. And then, you know, with streaming, it was supposed to be you're paying the subscription. You aren't supposed to get any ads. Now they're starting to incorporate ads into it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you are paying, you know, kind of the higher tier subscription or anything like that. And it's just, it's ridiculous. That's all there is to say about it. It's ridiculous.
Right. I wonder how long it's going to be until there's just, like, one streaming service where you can watch everything.
Oh, that's never going to happen.
You really don't think so?
I honestly do not think so, because as long as studios and, you know, companies can make their own streaming service, they are going to, because it is going to keep, you know, keep the rights within the company kind of thing. You know, even if, you know, for some people, it might make sense to have a streaming service that operates at a loss because it keeps the intellectual property within the company so that they're not selling out the rights to some other company that all of a sudden, you know, can use something that they're streaming in, like, say, something that Disney made, all of a sudden having a presence in Universal theme parks.
Right.
You know, pre-acquisition, I guess you could kind of put Marvel into that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, Universal in Florida has Marvel characters.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Universal in Hollywood cannot legally have Marvel characters. Even if they have, you know, even if Universal has the Marvel character rights, they have it, I believe, east of the Mississippi. West of the Mississippi is Disney's.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that's why, you know, you have, like, Avengers Campus and stuff at Disneyland. But you don't have anything like that at Disney World because they don't have the theme park rights to the Marvel characters on the East Coast. That's Universal.
Gotcha. Okay. That all makes sense. All right.
I mean, not really, but...
I mean, to the best...
Yeah.
As best as you can get it, at least.
Legal sense, sure.
Yep.
Just common sense, no.
Yeah, right.
So... yeah, that's kind of, that's kind of something that I've looked into before too. And that's what leads me to believe that there is no way that there's ever going to be just one streaming service because people are going to hold on to their quote unquote property, for as long as they can. And, you know, even might, if they don't have a streaming service, they won't give it to anybody who does have a streaming service kind of thing.
True.
Because that's another company profiting off of their quote-unquote property.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's just kind of my thoughts on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly hope that I would be wrong. That being said, I also hope that I'm not wrong, because if there is only one company, then they'll charge, you know, an exorbitant price to be able to access their stuff.
That's true. Yeah, if they had, like, just one streaming service, I can imagine that that fee would be astronomical.
I mean, that's basically cable now.
Right.
Because cable is a legalized monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's only one cable company per area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the area that I grew up in and that I'm in now, it's Comcast.
Sure.
But you go out to other places, it's Charter.
Mm-hmm.
And those two areas do not cross at all.
Very true.
Because they have lobbied the government to make sure that they are the only cable providers in that area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, like I said, it's a legalized monopoly. And I'm getting way off into the weeds here, and I apologize.
Right.
But merger between Warner Bros. and not Discovery, because that already happened, Warner Bros. And Paramount.
Okay.
That, as of right now, like I said, is not on the table anymore.
Okay. Well, then Warner Brothers can kind of slow the roll a little bit now.
You would hope.
You would hope so, at least.
But, you know, again, money.
Right.
So
money does talk.
Yep. And I know we kind of talked about, you know, different streaming platforms like Netflix and them getting into production.
Mm-hmm.
That actually leads us into our next news story, and how we were talking about how Scott Stuber is stepping down.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the head of the film portion of Netflix. And apparently Dan Lin is going to be taking over for him. Dan Lin is not really a household name, but he was a producer behind the Lego movies and the new live action Avatar, The Last Airbender, that's on Netflix right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so apparently his name has been in the mix for the entire time, but he is set to take over for Scott Stuber.
Okay.
So we'll have to see how this all goes.
Speaking of Avatar, The Last Airbender, have you watched that?
I have not, no.
I've watched a few episodes, and it is infinitely better than the movie.
How about the original TV show?
I've never seen the original TV show.
Because, like, I've seen, like, comparisons between the live action and the animated. And, I mean, animation obviously grants you a lot more flexibility in, sure, you know, physics.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't know, just between that and some of the interviews that I've seen the cast do, I don't know.
Mm, okay.
It seems like they changed a lot of stuff for the show, for the new show, I should say, that was very kind of integral to character development in the animated show.
Okay.
So, you know, some characters kind of being problematic in the beginning, but then learning and growing, like, that was their character arc. Mm-hmm. Was they learned and grew throughout the TV show until, you know, the end, where they were a lot more kind of, or I should say, a lot less morally gray.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sure.
I guess that's kind of a way to put it.
Okay, all right.
But, yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, if people watch it and they like it, good on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Enjoy what you want to enjoy. You know, that's just kind of my opinion on it.
Okay. All right.
But, yes. Sorry to kind of bust your bubble there a little bit.
Oh, you're good. No worries. Everybody's entitled to their opinion.
Everybody everywhere all at once?
Exactly.
You like how I did that?
I did. Yeah, that was fantastic.
So, speaking of the Daniels, you know, who did Everything Everywhere All at Once,
mm-hmm.
Apparently they have a new movie. We don't really know too much about it. We just know that it's kind of been announced to be going to Universal.
Okay.
And it'll be coming out in 2026.
I bet you it's Hot Dog Fingers, the movie.
Right. But yeah, it looks like June 12th, 2026 is when it's penciled in.
Okay.
But other than that, we have nothing really else on it.
Okay.
The whole project is hush-hush. That's what they say.
Well, I would say so, considering how well Everything Everywhere All at Once did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That they're going to want to keep it pretty hush-hush until they get, like, a trailer going.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know. That movie was pretty kick-ass, so.
It sure was. Nice segue, too.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Speaking of that movie, Matthew Vaughn, who you know, made Kick-Ass, the movie, apparently has started production on The Stuntman, which is another movie in the Kick-Ass universe.
Ooh, okay.
So I don't know too much about this movie, but, you know, kind of seeing Matthew Vaughn's filmography, I guess. I enjoy his filmography a little bit.
Yeah, me too.
So, basically, it sounds like this is going to be a pretty quick turnaround on the movie because they're aiming for a launch at Toronto later this year, the Toronto Film Festival, or Sundance in 2025.
Wow. Okay.
And so it looks like it's going to be a trilogy in the universe. And it's going to be a new trilogy, but it's going to be in the same universe. Mm-hmm. And actually, I take that back. This is going to be the second film of the trilogy. The first one is called School Fight, and it wrapped a couple of years ago.
Okay.
But it hasn't been released.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, this one is going to be called The Stuntman.
Cool. Well, I really enjoy Matthew Vaughn's work. So
absolutely.
Should be a fun. I was trying to think of a segue and I couldn't get to one.
I mean, it's a pretty great community that has been built around his movies.
There you go. That's why they pay you the big bucks.
Oh yeah, you know, all of the big bucks, just rolling in the dough.
That's right.
You know here. So we've talked about it before, but apparently now we kind of have more confirmation, not just from Donald Glover, but from Joe McHale about the Community movie.
Okay.
It sounds like they're hoping to shoot it this year, and they don't actually have like a set start date because they're trying to work around Donald Glover's shooting schedule with all the stuff that he's involved in.
Oh, gee, yeah, he's in a lot of stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So I know that he wants to do, I think he's still doing the Lando TV show.
Okay.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And then,
is he still doing Atlanta?
I think that finished.
Okay.
I think that they had the series finale of that this last year. Spider-Verse.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
I know he had a cameo in the last one. I don't know if he's going to be doing anything with any other ones here. But yeah, I think he's like writing and doing his own stuff too with some other productions.
Okay.
But basically, Joe McHale said that he'll be shocked if it doesn't shoot this year.
Okay.
But it sounds like the people that are set to return are Daniel Pudi, Allison Brie, Gillian Jacobs, Jim Rash, Ken Jeong, and Yvette Nicole Brown, and Donald Glover.
Awesome.
So definitely, I think, the main kind of main cast here.
Right. Well, and sans Chevy Chase.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But I know a lot of people are saying that they hope that Keith David, Jonathan Banks, and Paget Brewster, I can never pronounce their name, that they also make an appearance.
Okay.
Paget? I don't know. Something. So,
mm-hmm.
We'll have to see how it all goes, but yeah, it sounds like they are moving right along with this.
Okay. Well, I look forward to it. I've only seen a few episodes of Community, and what I've seen is good.
Right.
And people always tell me how it's the best series ever. So
right. Yeah. I mean, it never did great.
Right.
When it was airing, but it developed like this a community around it. Get it. A very very diehard community.
Right.
And that basically, after it was canceled, rallied around and got it another season and now a movie. And yeah, it was very very lucky of it for that to happen, I think.
Oh, most definitely.
So, very diehard group.
Oh, I was thinking you were doing a segue. My no. bad. I was like, oh, wait, no, that's wrong. Okay.
No, if I was doing a segue, you would know. You know, it's kind of my segues are just the naked truth.
Naked truth. I like it.
So, the Naked Gun remake with Liam Neeson that we've talked about before. Apparently, that is set for July 18th, 2025. So a year and a couple months away.
Okay.
And I mean, I know a lot of people are very kind of iffy about Liam Neeson being Leslie Nielsen's replacement.
Right.
Quote unquote replacement.
Mm-hmm.
But he has definitely got some comedy chops.
Oh, definitely.
They're a very deadpan kind of European comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But he, I think he will do very well in a Naked Gun reboot.
Oh, very much so. Did you ever see Ted? I'm guessing you probably never saw Ted 2.
No.
No? Okay. So he makes a cameo in there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a part where he's going in there and he's like all distraught. He looks like he's been through a war. He's holding a gun and everything. Mm-hmm. And he's holding a box of tricks. And he walks in there and he goes up to a register because Ted works at a grocery store.
Right, right.
And he's like, he's trying to buy a box of tricks and he's asking the person at the register that, so I can buy these. They're not just for kids. It's like he's so deadpan about it and it's great to see.
That is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to see how it all goes.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, like I said, we do have the reboot coming July 18th, 2025.
Okay.
We actually do have some more, kind of in the same production studio, I guess you would say.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Paw Patrol 3.
Mm.
Is going to be coming out. The next year after that is slated right now for July 31st, 2026.
Okay.
And then Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem apparently is getting a sequel officially. And as of right now, it is set to hit theaters October 9th, 2026.
Okay.
So we'll have to see how that all goes.
I like it. All right.
But like I said, Naked Gun 2025, Paw Patrol 3, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem 2, whatever the sequel is going to be named, 2026.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But yeah, going from turtles to crows, we actually have some new images from The Crow with Bill Skarsgård.
Indeed we do.
Which, I don't know. I'm going to throw this out there because I had to read it, so I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
They Jared Leto'd The Crow.
I could see that.
Yeah, they basically took the 90s slick back Brandon Lee Crow and gave it more of a greasy kind of, I wouldn't say mobster, but like I don't know how to describe it, but it very much feels like Bill Skarsgård's Crow is a sad boy. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Like, I mean, you kind of get what I'm putting down here.
I can see where you're coming from.
Do you hear me clucking?
I can hear you clucking. He kind of looks like he looks like a junk. Blah blah. A Joker henchman is what he looks like to me.
Okay. Okay. Yep. Yep. Yep.
That's just like, especially Jared Leto's Joker.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even, yeah, I'd say Jared Leto's Joker by far, because I can't even picture like Heath Ledger's or even the one from The Batman. Because yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, like, the other thing with this crow is they've like. To say they Jared Leto'd him, basically the image that they released is him like taking off his jacket and he just has a ton of tattoos everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, he kind of has like the black eye makeup and everything like that, but just random tattoos that I don't know what they're trying to tell with them, but I don't remember.
I'm trying to remember if the original Crow had tattoos or not.
Well, I'm looking up images right now, and I mean, everything that I'm seeing is he was either wearing the
I know he wears his trench coat a lot of the time.
Trench coat or like the just a long sleeve shirt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That, you know, has a bunch of like rips and stuff in it, but I don't see anything with like tattoos or stuff like that.
Okay.
So it'll be interesting to see kind of why they decided to go that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Well, I'm very excited to see. I love the original Crow. So hopefully this one will be good, but I'm going to hold my breath. I might die, but I'm going to hold my breath. Yeah. Hopefully it'll be good.
Yeah. So with the Crow, I think last week we were talking about how they took Ballerina, the John Wick spinoff, and pushed it back a year, and they put Bad Boys 4 into the June 7th spot.
Right.
But it looks like the Crow now will be fighting against Bad Boys 4.
No, okay.
Excuse me.
So Will Smith and Martin Lawrence versus the Crow.
Absolutely.
Bad boys, what you gonna do?
I don't know, I might have some studios mixed up or anything like that, but all we know is that Ballerina is now 2025.
Okay.
The Crow is June 7th, 2024, and Bad Boys 4 is June 7th, 2024.
Okay.
And then Inside Out 2 will be Father's Day weekend.
Okay. All right.
Which is, I believe, the 14th?
That sounds about right.
The weekend of the 14th? So we'll have to see how that all goes too. I don't know. It's a lot of remakes and sequels and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of remakes,
I'm not happy about this one.
I would have never guessed, Travis. We have a remake of "Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead" that is coming in April 12th. I didn't even know that they were making this.
I didn't either.
But this one has Simone Joy Jones, Nicole Richie, and June Squibb will lead an ensemble to this movie here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you've seen the original?
I love the original a lot. I grew up with it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember going to the video rental store and picking it out one day, because I had never heard of it before, and I was pleasantly surprised.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And hey, it's got Kelly Bundy in it,
right?
Christina right. Applegate,
exactly. So I watched the teaser that they have on it,
mm-hmm.
and it looks like they were going for very campy, kind of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it also looks like they missed the mark.
Yeah.
So, like, I know a lot of, like, the campy ones that we grew up with that everybody loves,
mm-hmm.
they weren't necessarily trying to make a campy movie.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of happened.
Right.
And now they're trying to make campy movies, and it's not happening.
Right.
Especially with Nicole Richie.
And she's playing the fashion expert, or not the fashion expert, but the main character ends up and goes to work at this like clothing clothing the manufacturer company.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she's playing her boss.
Right.
So and it fits, cuz I mean Nicole Richie is
Nicole Richie.
Exactly. A fashion icon and all this, and I mean, along with Paris Hilton and all this and that.
Yep, but
Paris
yep.
Hilton's away from this.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm not happy that they're doing this, but if they do it right, it could be good. But I'm really scared that what they're going to do to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see how it all goes.
Mm-hmm.
But so we have that coming in. Another remake that we've been talking about is Superman Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have officially changed their name from Superman Legacy to, get this, Superman.
How original.
I know. And they have begun principal photography.
Okay.
So I know, I think last week we were talking about how they'd had a table read and how Nicholas Holt was very bald.
Oh, that's right. Because, yeah, he's Lex Luthor.
He is. And so we have kind of the new, we have the new logo, which I believe is a kind of a rehash slash reimagining of an old comic logo for Superman, where it seems like it doesn't have the bottom part of the loop, but that is just the outside of the icon emblem, I guess, whatever
like
you want to say it.
The like S shield or whatever you want to call it.
Okay. Yeah. So I think I saw something about it being kind of the same as one from, I want to say the 70s, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
I could be completely wrong there. I am not kind of up to date on my Superman logos.
Sure.
But they have renamed it as just Superman.
Okay.
And they've started principal photography, and it should be coming in July 2025.
Nice. Okay.
We'll have to see how it all goes, though.
As long as Superman punches somebody again, I'm all for it.
There you go.
That's why I like Man of Steel. Because he actually punched somebody.
Yeah, yeah. And we do actually have news about another casting that happened.
Okay.
And that was for Perry White.
Okay.
And then it looks like Wendell Pierce has been cast as Perry White.
Perry White, that name sounds familiar. Isn't he like part of the Daily Planet?
He is. Basically, he is the iconic editor-in-chief.
That's it. Okay.
Of the Daily Planet.
Mm-hmm.
And so Wendell Pierce has been in stuff like The Wire. I think in Man of Steel, that was Lawrence Fishburne, wasn't it?
It was, yep.
So we'll have to see how this all goes.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was pretty good. Pretty good, you know?
Yeah, most definitely.
It definitely gives off the I'm in charge here, don't mess with me kind of vibe.
Oh, exactly.
So should be fun to see how this new movie keeps shaping up.
Definitely.
So I really don't have any sort of segue for this next one.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just go right into it.
Okay.
You know, jump right into the waters here.
Ah.
John Waters is making a new movie after 20 years.
Jeez.
And apparently Aubrey Plaza is set to star in it.
He is an odd, strange man.
Just a little bit. But the new movie is going to be called Liar Mouth.
Okay.
And it apparently is based on John Waters' 2022 novel of the same name, which follows the story of Marcia Sprinkle, a smart, desperate, and disturbed con artist dubbed Liar Mouth, who's wanted dead by even her own family.
Oh.
So apparently Aubrey Plaza has been wanting to be part of this since the movie adaptation was announced.
Okay.
Which, okay. I'm okay with that.
Well, okay. So John Waters, he's known for being out there.
Very much so.
I would say that this movie will probably be rated NC-17.
I can definitely see that, yeah.
Because I know he did A Dirty Shame. And that came out in 2004. That was with Johnny Knoxville.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I remember that one was NC-17. So, and I have a vivid memory of seeing John Waters from the movie Jackass Number 2.
Because
there's a scene where, never mind, I'm not going to get into it because it's not PG.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So John Waters also has done some writing for some other movies, like Pink Flamingos.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever heard of that one. That one is from the 70s, and it stars Divine, who is very kind of, I wouldn't say controversial, but at least, I mean, for the time, was definitely kind of a controversial pick.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also did... he wrote Hairspray.
Oh, that's right. Yep, with Ricky Lake.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I mean, like the, the 1988. Sorry, production.
Yep.
And then that got turned. Did that get turned into a musical, or was that a musical after? And then Divine played the mom.
Yeah. Okay.
And in that one.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry Stiller played the dad.
That's right.
And Sonny Bono was in there too. And Ricky, Ricky Lake was Tracy Turnblad.
Okay.
Yep. So, John Waters wrote that one.
Okay.
And then, 1 second. Sorry, I'm kind of looking at his directing stuff here too. And then, yeah, Hairspray, Polyester, Pink Flamingos, direction, directing, all that kind of fun stuff. Okay. So it should be very interesting to see where he goes with this.
Nice. Okay. Well, I look forward to it.
Very nice.
He is a very odd duck.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so. He's an odd duck, just like Alan Tudyk is an odd chicken.
Very true. Yes, he is.
You like that one?
I do. That was a good one.
So that brings us to news on Moana, mm-hmm. number two. I know before I think when we had mentioned it before, I wasn't sure if Dwayne Johnson was returning. But now, and I had said that Auli'i Crivello was returning,
mm-hmm.
but apparently that was still kind of up in the air.
Okay.
But now we know that both Auli'i Crivello and Dwayne Johnson are returning to voice their roles for Moana 2.
Man, he is just in everything.
Right. And so, like, I know they're doing the live-action Moana as well,
mm-hmm.
which is crazy to me.
Right.
But I think Dwayne Johnson is going to be in that, in the live-action, but Auli'i is not,
mm-hmm.
because she had said that she was going to be passing on to whoever was going to be doing that. But now she posted something on Instagram that was basically like, you know, your expression when you find out that you're going back to Mount Inui.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And yeah, it was her, you know, kind of jumping for joy kind of thing.
Nice.
So she is back as Moana in Moana 2.
Okay.
We still haven't heard too much about the live action one. We'll have to see how that all goes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm still kind of .
That man is so busy. I'm super excited to see a Moana 2. Mm-hmm. I'm not so much about the live action one, but at least a like animated Moana 2 would be good.
I would say the same,
mm-hmm.
except Moana 2 was supposed to be a series, and they're basically cutting a bunch of it and making it into a movie.
Okay.
So.
Well.
We'll have to see how it all goes.
Definitely. Okay.
Yeah. See who they cut from the team to play against the Germans.
Sweep the leg.
Quack.
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 Quack. Quack. Speaking of the Mighty Ducks, Joshua Jackson, and speaking of Karate Kid, has joined the next Karate Kid movie that is apparently happening.
Okay.
Now, I am very confused by this because they say that both Ralph Macchio and Jackie Chan will be reprising their iconic characters.
So they're going to be mixing both Karate Kids. The
That's
original
what it sounds like.
And the one with Jaden Smith.
Yeah. Yeah, because, well, I know Pat Morita obviously passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And so he can't be Miyagi.
Right. And we got to get the last season of Cobra Kai first before we get this.
That is true. That is true.
Because I believe they're filming that right now.
I think that's what I heard too.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see how that all goes. But yeah, it seems very weird that they're combining them. I mean, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, combining the two different kind of Karate Kid franchises.
Yep.
But it also looks like Ben Wang, who led the cast of Disney Plus American Born Chinese, is going to be starring in the coming of age martial arts drama.
Okay. But my real question is that if we're going to have all these people back, where's Hilary Swank in all of this? Because she has her hand in the Karate Kid franchise.
I mean, I heard she had an accident in the boxing ring.
You went a long way to make a $1 million baby reference.
I did.
And I can greatly appreciate that.
I kind of had to.
You did.
You you lobbed it up there for me, and I had to spike it down.
Not in my house.
we'll have to see how this all goes. But yeah, we have Charlie from the Mighty Ducks joining on in now.
Charlie.
hence the quacking at the beginning. I mean, that's really all I know him from is that and Fringe, right? I think he was in Fringe, the TV show.
Oh gosh, he was in a movie with Paul Walker called The Skulls, about a secret society.
Apparently he was also in Dawson's Creek for 128 episodes.
He sure was. That was a show I never got into, but I know he was in it.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. Death, the TV series.
Oh yeah, that's right. But he will always be.
He will always be Charlie.
Yep, he will always be Charlie Conway.
Mm-hmm. So.
The cake. Well, no, he's not a cake
eater. No, he's not the cake eater.
That's, what's his face? I can see him.
Was it Lewis?
No.
Because it wasn't Goldberg. Wasn't not Fulton.
Goldberg.
Was it Adam?
Adam Banks? Yeah, it was Banks, wasn't it?
Adam Banks.
Yep, Adam Banks was the cake eater.
Vincent LaRusso, who apparently was in Mighty Ducks Game Changers for an episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did see the first season. I haven't seen the second season.
Hmm. So, yeah, we have him joining on in.
Okay.
And to kind of go back a little bit, I know we were talking about Inside Out 2 being on Father's Day weekend. Apparently, another movie is going to be releasing that weekend as well.
Okay.
So, you know, kind of one movie is looking inside the mind. Another movie is looking inside the room called The Watchers.
Oh.
And we actually had a trailer for this movie released this week. Mm-hmm. What'd you think of it?
Very interesting. I wonder what's going on throughout a lot of it.
So this movie is produced by M. Night Shyamalan.
Right. And it has, oh gosh, what, isn't it Dakota Fanning?
Yep, Dakota Fanning.
Okay. And she's locked in a room.
Mm-hmm. With a lot of other people.
Yep. And there's like the double-sided glass. So there's somebody watching them.
Something. There's somebody on the wing. Something. Oh, that was great. Sorry. So,
it looks good.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's a movie that you might not want to watch.
Yeah, no, probably not.
But you kind of go for
sometimes
Shyamalan's.
Sometimes I go for Shyamalan's.
Yeah.
And, I mean, did you see who the writer-director was?
No, I didn't. Who?
Ishana Shyamalan.
Ishana?
Ishana. Or Ishana. I don't know the pronunciation, but I believe that is M. Night Shyamalan's daughter.
Ooh, okay. So they're keeping it in the family.
Just a little bit.
I like it.
But we'll have to see how it all goes, you know, kind of giving her a chance and at writing, directing, and we'll see if she gets the familial twist going on.
Oh, I'm sure she will. I mean, I'm not going to count on it, but like father, like daughter, or like daughter, like father, however you want to say it.
Right, right.
One second. My microphone is dipping down.
Dip, 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 dip. Dip, 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 dip.
That microphone has quite a hang on it.
Hang ten, man.
Hold on. This is... Yeah. I really need new microphones. I'm not a fan of these. They work, but...
At what cost? At what cost, Travis? At what cost?
They are just fine for what we are using them for. Yeah. For right meow.
Right meow.
For right meow.
Right meow.
Until we can get different ones.
Yes. So yeah, we have the a new type of twist maybe.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to see, but it's a new Shyamalan. It's a new new movie. The Watchers trailer.
Maybe she'll change the game.
Maybe there won't be a twist at all.
Maybe.
Ooh.
A straightforward Shyamalan movie.
Mm-hmm. You know which movie doesn't look straightforward?
What's that?
I saw the TV glow.
Yeah, most definitely.
Which is another trailer that released this week. Wow.
Yeah, right.
Okay,
it's from A24.
Mm-hmm,
so already it's going to be a weird one. So from what I'm guessing from it is that they're watching a TV show that predicts the future is the, how I'm taking it. So like they're watching it, but then like the characters are kind of like themselves.
Right. Right. And I don't know. It seemed like, so basically the tagline here is two teenagers bond over their love of a supernatural TV show, but it is mysteriously canceled.
Hmm. Okay.
So like, it's almost like they're rewatching it and rewatching it. So they know the lines as well.
Hmm.
So they're like reciting the lines, you know, later on, and then she disappears or something.
Okay.
With her TV burning in the backyard.
Yeah. Okay.
And he has to go find her, but since they kind of bonded over their love of this TV show, it seems like he's kind of getting more and more obsessed with it, where it like is kind of creeping into his everyday life kind of thing. I don't know.
So like he's not, so like he can't figure out what, like what's real and what's the TV show.
Right, right.
Okay, all right. I could definitely see that. Okay.
Yep. And then so we have Justice Smith as Owen and Brigitte Lundy-Payne as Maddie, the two main characters.
Right.
And okay. We'll have to see how this all goes. I don't know. Like you said, it's coming from A24, so maybe. That's all I can say.
And it seemed like from the trailer there's a lot of buzz for it already.
Oh, so absolutely. Absolutely.
Hopefully it'll be one of those like sleeper hits, kind of like what Talk to Me was. Yeah.
Well, I mean, a lot of A24 stuff kind of still seems to fly under the radar of a lot of people.
Yeah, very much so, yeah.
But then word of mouth definitely kind of gets around. I know with this one, I'm trying to remember what I saw for May 3rd is going to be the release for it.
Okay.
So that's, I mean, that's coming up pretty quick.
Yeah, no kidding.
For right now, less than 2 months.
Right.
So, and this is the first that I've really heard anything of it. We'll see if we hear anything more coming up, but we have that going for us now. We have the trailer.
All right.
And the trailer really doesn't give away anything, which is nice too.
Which is, yeah, very nice. I don't like seeing everything.
Right. Kind of like some of the other ones that we'll talk about here.
Exactly.
Our next one that we have is actually called The Bike Riders. This one has Austin Butler, Jodie Comer, Tom Hardy, Michael Shannon, Boyd Holbrooke. Just kind of a lot of people in it. Norman Reedus, I saw him in there. Just lots of people I wasn't expecting to see. But it is from, what did it say, the 50s Chicago or 60s Chicago?
I would say 50s or 60s, something like that.
Where this biker gang kind of is taking over the city and kind of, you know, making it their own and getting, you know, biker bars and kind of starting to get into drugs and weapon running and all that kind of stuff. And basically making the city their own.
Right.
So, but like I said, Austin Butler and Tom Hardy are kind of the two main, at least according to the trailer, it seems like they're kind of the two main people, and Jodie Comer is kind of the love interest of Austin Butler's character,
right?
Kind of trying to, you know, keep him from the life, or you know, keep him alive. And I don't know. It looks very, very good.
It does.
Absolutely.
It just seems like it's going to be a shorter version of Sons of Anarchy.
A little bit. Although I do have to say, I still can't get over Tom Hardy's American accent.
Why is it just weird to hear him say it or no, use it or what?
Like you think of Tom Hardy and like you think of him in Bane.
Well, I was born in that old girl.
And then you hear him with his American accent. It's
true. Yeah.
And it just kind of it throws me. You know, it seems like he goes for a lot more of a nasally kind of accent, and that's how he can get his American accent going. But it just also, it throws me. That's just...
Is his voice like that in Venom? I don't remember.
Very much so. He very much has a more nasally, almost a little higher pitched than you would think.
Okay.
Kind of voice.
I guess I've never really noticed.
In the beginning of Venom, he has the news montage of him to kind of get you acquainted with his voice really quick. But I don't know. It feels like when he's putting on an American accent, he goes a lot more nasally and brings up his voice register just a little bit.
Okay.
I don't know. That's just me. That's just me.
Okay. I might have to rewatch that trailer again because I'd never really noticed.
And now you'll never be able to unnotice it.
Right, exactly.
I guess from there, going to our next trailer that we have, and that is the trailer for The Strangers, Chapter 1. This is all you, Travis. This is 100% you.
So this looks really good. But like we were saying earlier, this is the movie that the trailer pretty much shows the entire movie, at least to what we think.
Right.
But it is a prequel to what did the first one come out in 2007? Something like that.
I don't remember.
It's been a long time.
It's been a hot minute.
There's been another sequel also. I think it was The Strangers Pray at Night that came out, like 3-4 years ago? No, yeah. I think maybe even 5 or 6 by now.
The Strangers was 2008.
Okay.
The Strangers Pray at Night was 2018.
Okay. All right. But from the trailer, it is about a couple that goes to a cabin and they seemingly think they're alone, but they're not. And 3 mass killers come in and start causing trouble and try to kill them.
To say the least, yes. Yeah,
right. And I remember the first one being super realistic and it freaked me out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Also, Strangers Pray at Night. That one also kind of freaked me out also, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this one will be the same thing. And I'm down for it.
So, this one from the trailer, at least, and in the setup for the movie, kind of gave a Deliverance vibe.
Okay.
Does that kind of make sense?
Well, especially when they're showing the whole townspeople.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's kind of where I was getting that vibe from.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Yeah. Very unfortunate that it seems like it's kind of showing the entire movie in the trailer.
It does. I'm trying to remember if the original one had that problem too. It's been like, oh gosh, 20 years now since that.
Yeah. Well, say, yeah, 16.
16, close enough. But yeah, I'm super down to see this. I know you won't, but I will. Because somebody has to take one for the team.
I know, you're so upset about having to do that.
I really am. I'm so upset. I don't know how I'm going to be able to sleep at night.
Right. Well, thank you for doing your part.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, I'm doing my part. But yeah, that brings us to our next trailer. And that trailer is for Asphalt City. This is a new one coming in with Sean Penn and Ty Sheridan as two paramedics, one being the grizzled veteran, one being the newbie.
Mm-hmm.
And being in New York and basically dealing with a lot of the drama that comes with a New York City night shift paramedic.
It reminds me of Training Day, but with EMTs.
Okay. So yeah, basically this one is Ollie Cross is a young paramedic assigned to the NYC night shift with an uncompromising and seasoned partner, Gene Rutkowski. Each 911 call is often dangerous and uncertain, putting their lives on the line every day to help others. But yeah, I can definitely see Training Day, but with EMTs. Very much it says drama thriller. I can definitely see that.
Mm-hmm.
And in the trailer, they are talking about, did, you know, EMT Rutkowski cross the line, blah, 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 or you know, deny service to somebody that was having a medical emergency or something like that.
Right.
And so, I mean, there's going to be a lot of drama in this one.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just super excited to see Sean Penn back in something. It's been forever, at least I feel like.
Yeah, I think he's done some stuff, but just a lot more kind of under the radar kind of stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, so he was in, like, Licorice Pizza a couple years ago. Flag Day.
Okay.
And then TV series, some shorts and stuff. The Angry Birds movie in 2016.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, that's kind of... Oh, The Professor and the Madman. That one was himself and Mel Gibson.
Okay.
From 2019.
Gotcha, okay.
Oh, that's the... That's the one where they invent the dictionary.
Oh, okay. Sounds like a solid movie plot.
Yeah. Professor James Murray begins compiling words for the first edition of the Orthodox English Dictionary in the 19th century.
Jeez.
And receives over 10,000 entries from a patient at Broadmoor Lunatic Asylum, Dr. William Miner.
Okay. Hmm.
So, Sean Penn plays the lunatic, and Mel Gibson plays the professor.
Okay.
Sorry, the patient at the lunatic asylum. So, we'll have to see how the that all goes for Asphalt City.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah, that one. So our next one that apparently I forgot that I watched, even though I watched it earlier today, is Strictly Confidential. Yeah.
So, you can cut this out if you really want to, but this looks like...
Adult film.
With a storyline.
It kind of does.
Yeah.
One of the stars in it is Elizabeth Hurley.
I see exactly where I'm going with that.
The writer and director of this movie is her son, Damien Hurley.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so knowing that, the plot lines that were seemingly going on in this movie are kind of suspicious.
A little bit now. Now that you're saying that.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. This movie isn't for me.
Yeah, right?
So basically, the tagline here is: a haunted young woman finds herself drawn into a world of seduction, duplicity, and betrayal as she desperately tries to uncover the mystery surrounding her best friend's suicide. So basically, in the trailer, these two friends are at this resort location. Mm-hmm. One of them commits suicide. Years pass, and her and a bunch of the people that knew her, and I think her mom, basically, and her sister, the person who committed suicide's mom and sister, all come to this resort to try to find closure and do all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Shenanigans happen. Lots and lots of shenanigans. Let's just leave it at that.
Right.
And it's supposed to be a thriller. It's rated R, but like you said, it seems very much like...
An adult movie.
An adult movie with a budget and trying to shoehorn a storyline in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
One second.
I'm surprised that this is getting a, like, Hollywood release, honestly.
A little bit, yeah.
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 It seems very direct to DVD.
Yes. Very much so. Very much so. Very, very direct to DVD. Very kind of close to being in the back room of a movie store.
Yep.
But just right on that edge.
Mm-hmm. Having to go through those old saloon doors. Like in Schindler's back in the day.
Yep.
Shout out to Schindler's.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to see this one.
Yeah. I mean, I forget the guy's name, but yeah, it's a no for me, dog.
Randy Jackson?
Randy Jackson, thank you, yes. From American Idol.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
But yeah, that leads us to our last trailer of the night. That is the trailer for Garfield. We have a new one that came out that gives us a lot more of the storyline. I hate to say it about another Chris Pratt movie, optimistic
mm-hmm.
about this now.
Mm-hmm.
I know I said it before, the last time that the trailer was in, but Chris Pratt's voice, I feel like, very much lends itself more to Garfield than it does to something like to Mario.
Very much so. I will agree with that.
His voice and the way that he projects it for Garfield feels a lot like the Garfield and Friends TV show, Garfield.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Did you kind of get that?
I did, yes.
Okay.
And the clown was in there. Did you see the cereal box from Garfield and Friends? So do you remember in Garfield and Friends there was the clown that was always in there? I think his name was Blinky.
Kind of.
So in the trailer, there's a cereal box, and mm-hmm. it's like Blinky cereal.
Okay.
And it made me happy. I was like, oh, Garfield and Friends.
Yeah. Well, there's not only that, but they had a split second of Garfield reacting to a spider.
Okay.
And the spider was drawn exactly as the spiders were drawn in the Garfield comic strip.
I love it.
And then there was the whole him plastered on the window.
Yep.
Which is exactly like those old Garfield mm-hmm. plushes that people used to put, you know, with the suction cups that people put on their car windows.
Mm-hmm.
That looked exactly like that. Like there was a ton of references. Some people I saw were kind of going through it and getting all the references from the comics. Like there's one point where Garfield is thrown through a window, mm-hmm. and that is another exact replica of a comic strip where yep. he gets thrown through a window. Liz is in it.
Oh yeah,
Liz mm-hmm. is in it officially. We're gonna need the big scale.
Yep.
Well, you don't have to announce it to the entire year.
That's so good.
But I am more optimistic now than I was before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I might have to see if my aunt has seen anything about this, because she was one of those people with the Garfield plushie, okay. you know, suction cupped to mm-hmm. the inside of window of her vehicle for a long time. So I'm going to have to see if she knew about this one, or if
okay.
she's seen anything about it.
I wonder if Norma will make an appearance in this one. So I don't think she's ever been in anything besides the cartoon.
He.
Hmm?
He.
Is it a he? Norma, really?
I believe so.
I thought it was a she.
The Garfield Wiki. Norma is a major character in the Garfield franchise history. He first appeared in the comic strip.
Oh, darn.
I always did too, until somebody pointed that out to me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Nermal.
Some fans have mistaken Nermal for a female kitten because of his eyelashes, his seemingly feminine personality, and the feminine sounding tone of voice on Garfield and Friends. Jim Davis often gives younger characters eyelashes, including Garfield himself in the Garfield segment of Garfield His Nine Lives and mm-hmm. Orson at the Beginning. And Garfield and Friends, Nermal's voice was provided by Desiree Gautier, or Goyette, starring with Garfield Gets Real. He is voiced by Jason Marsden, and thereby breaking the confusion. And he was also voiced by David Eigenberg in Garfield the Movie.
Okay.
In Latin America, dub of Garfield and Friends had Nermal renamed Telma, and his gender changed to female. After season one, Telma was changed back to Nermal. Despite this, Nermal's gender only changed back to male near the end of the series.
Interesting.
So, yeah, the more you know.
Yeah, no kidding. I had no idea.
So, I mean, like I said, growing up, completely thought the same thing mm-hmm. until somebody's just randomly pointed and I'm like, wait, what? I had the exact same reaction that you did.
Well, now I'm Garfield woke.
You know the lore now.
I do.
But yeah, like I said, more optimistic than I was before. Kind of ready to see this movie.
Me too.
So... and that brings us to the end of our trailers. Travis, do you have anything you want to say about any of the movie news or the movie trailers that we have for this week?
I've got nothing, sir.
Alrighty, well, make sure you visit us at Facebook. We're at facebook.com/moviesarething. We also on Twitter and Instagram at moviesarething. No spaces, dashes, slashes, anything like that, at moviesarething. Come on by and say hi. Dang, I am like parched. Yeah. But, nope. That brings us to our movies that are premiering this week. The first movie that we have is Kung Fu Panda. Kung Fu. I made the mistake. Kung Fu Panda 4. This one is rated PG, and it will be in theaters. After three death-defying adventures defeating world-class villains with his unmatched courage and mad martial arts skills, Poe the Dragon Warrior is called upon by Destiny to... give it a rest already. More specifically, he's tapped to become the spiritual leader of the Valley of Peace. That poses a couple of obvious problems. First, Poe knows as much about spiritual leadership as he does about the paleo diet. And second, he needs to quickly train a new dragon warrior before he can assume his new lofty position. Even worse, there's been a recent sighting of a wicked, powerful sorcerer's chameleon, a tiny lizard who can shapeshift into any creature, large or small. And Chameleon has her greedy, beady little eyes on Poe's Staff of Wisdom, which would give her the power to resummon all the master villains from whom Poe has vanquished to the spirit realm. So, Poe's going to need some help. He finds it, kinda, in the form of a crafty, quick-witted thief, Zhen, a Corsic fox, who really gets under Poe's fur, but whose skills will prove invaluable. In their quest to protect the Valley of Peace from Chameleon's reptilian claws, this comedic odd couple duo will have to work together. In the process, Poe will discover that heroes can be found in the most unexpected places. IMDb has this one at a 7.1 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes has no score, and neither does Metacritic.
That was a lot.
That was a lot. That was a very thorough... plot synopsis. So Travis, you can go ahead and talk for about 5 minutes here while I recover.
No kidding. Okay, so when I first heard about this, I kind of rolled my eyes when I heard that, oh, they're gonna make another Kung Fu Panda. Okay, why? But as I keep seeing more and more of it, the more I want to see this. I really enjoy these characters. I don't go to a lot of kids' movies that much anymore, and I'm happy to see that they're bringing this, at least Kung Fu Panda back.
Mm.
If we get any more after this, we'll have to see, but at least we're getting a 4. Mm. But I really think this looks good.
So, here's what I know, cast-wise.
Okay.
Obviously, Jack Black is back as Poe.
Right.
Dustin Hoffman, it says, is back as Shifu.
Mm.
James Hong, it says, is back as Mr. Ping.
Okay.
Bryan Cranston is back, it says, as Lee.
Okay.
Ian McShane, it says, is back as Tai Lung from the first movie.
Okay.
And now we also have Awkwafina as Zhen.
Mm.
The Kennick Fox, I believe.
Okay.
We have Ki Hoi Kwan in there.
Oh, okay.
As a character called Han. And then as Chameleon, Viola Davis.
I love it.
So we'll have to see how this all goes. I never really got into the other ones. Like, I've watched bits and pieces of it, but I've never taken the time to sit down and, like, I want to.
Okay.
And, like, I've watched, you know, not explainer videos, but, you know, movie essay videos about them. And, like, when it first came out, it was, oh, it's a, you know, kung fu movie with a bear. Woo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, oh, they, you know, they paid out a bunch of, you know, bunch of money to get all these big name voice actors. Woo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was very kind of naive to the subject at hand, I guess.
Right.
But with, you know, how much thought and care seems to have gone into these movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that people shouldn't just kind of throw by the wayside, right. I feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, definitely give this one a shot. I feel like it deserves that, at least.
Oh, definitely. Especially if you were a fan of the first three.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's always good to, you know, go back and see old friends. So.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
Very nice. All right, so we have that one. Our next movie that we have is Imaginary. This one is rated PG-13, and this one will be in theaters. Are imaginary friends really figments of childhood imagination, or is something more terrifying lying just beneath? When Jessica moves back into her childhood home with her family, her youngest stepdaughter, Alice, develops an eerie attachment to a stuffed bear named Chauncey she finds in the basement. Alice starts playing games with Chauncey and begin playful and become increasingly sinister. As Alice's behavior becomes more and more concerning, Jessica intervenes only to realize Chauncey is much more than the stuffed toy bear she believed him to be. IMDb Rotten Tomatoes Metacritic did not have a score for this one. Travis, you can have fun with this.
I kind of want to watch this. It looks intriguing. I'm not a big fan of PG-13 horror. But Megan surprised me. So I might have to give this one a shot. Just something about imaginary friends and the fact that they're, like, there's horror behind it is like, ooh, that's intriguing. I like it.
There's a lot of stuff going on with imaginary friends, like, this year, I feel like.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, there's that big If movie from John Krasinski coming.
Right.
So.
And then I guess not necessarily, I don't know if it's imaginary friends, but the one that's coming from Pixar, I think.
Okay.
Where the kid becomes Helios, basically, I think is what it was.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember what it was called.
Talking about Elio?
Is that what it was? Or is that next? I think that one's next year. No, that Elio is the one where the kid's mom works at, like, NASA or something like that, or some observatory, and he gets beamed up and mistakenly he is identified as Earth's ambassador to the rest of the universe.
That's right. Okay.
I don't remember which one I'm thinking of, but so imaginary, If, and then one other one that I thought was coming out, but I guess I don't remember, having to all do with imaginary friends and kind of definitely different takes on them.
Okay. All right.
But so you wanna go see this one?
I do.
It's pulled you in a little bit?
It's pulled me in a little bit. Yeah, like I said, I'm not big on PG-13 horror, but I might have to give this one a shot.
Very nice, very nice. Well, that brings us to our last movie that is being released in theaters. This one is Cabrini. It is rated PG-13. This is the powerful epic of Francesca Cabrini, an Italian immigrant who arrives in New York City in 1889 and is greeted by disease, crime, and impoverished children. Cabrini sets off on a daring mission to convince the hostile mayor to secure housing and healthcare for society's most vulnerable. With broken English and poor health, Cabrini uses her entrepreneurial mind to build an empire of hope unlike anything the world had ever seen. IMDb did not have a score for this one. Rotten Tomatoes is sitting at a 96%, and Metacritic did not have a score as well.
I feel like this movie is going to be big.
Yeah, I know this one is made by the same guy that did Sound of Freedom, is what you were saying, correct?
Yep. And that one did very well over the summer, at least here at St. Michael Cinema.
Which, by the way, St. Michael Cinema, thank you for sponsoring the podcast.
Yes, thank you.
We do appreciate the space to be able to record. And
we sure do.
And you being so kind to sponsor the podcast, thank you very much. Yeah, I guess I don't know too much about this story, so I can't really say too much about it.
Right.
About its historical accuracy. That being said, a lot of times these biographies and history movies obviously have a lot of embellishments.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes it's nice to have a more kind of uplifting story.
Oh, most definitely.
So we'll have to see how this one goes. It sounds like it will do pretty darn well.
Mm-hmm. Plus it has John Lithgow in it, so.
that is true. And David Morse.
Oh yeah, David Morse.
We'll have to see how it all goes.
Sounds good to me.
Fantastic. All right, and our last movie for this week is Damsel. This one is rated PG-13, and it will be on Netflix. A dutiful damsel agrees to marry a handsome prince, only to find the royal family has recruited her as a sacrifice to repay an ancient debt. Thrown into a cave with a fire-breathing dragon, she must rely on her wits and will to survive. IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes, and Metacritic did not have a score for this one.
What is a dutiful?
Basically, doing what she's told.
Oh, okay. All right. That makes sense. All right.
Yeah. So this is the one with Millie Bobby Brown.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming to Netflix, like we were talking about. I think we talked about it last week or the week before.
Right.
Having kind of gone over a lot of it then, I don't know I have too much more else to say, but I mean, it looks pretty decent.
It definitely does. I think this one also has Robin Wright Penn as well as the queen.
Ooh. So she went from queen in the DCEU to...
Yeah, right. Yep. Wasn't she... Yeah, she was in Wonder Woman. Yeah.
Yeah, Robin Wright as Queen Isabel.
Okay.
Ray Winstone is in there. Angela Bassett.
Ooh, okay.
So, I mean, there's a few people in here that you know.
Nice. Sounds like a pretty stacked cast.
A little bit. A little bit.
And how do you like Millie Bobby Brown?
Mm-hmm.
She's Deece.
She's Deece.
Yep, Deece.
And definitely taking on a more action role this time.
Oh, most definitely. Not, I mean, Stranger Things is kind of action.
Mm-hmm.
But this is obviously like more action than Stranger Things.
Yeah, it's more physicality than mental action.
Exactly, right. Mm-hmm.
Is kind of the way I would put it, at least by the trailer.
Definitely, right.
So we'll have to see how this all goes.
Cool.
Should be interesting.
Yeah.
All right. That is the end of our movies for this week. Travis, do you have anything else you want to add about these movies?
I've got nothing.
What order are you looking at here?
Ooh, okay. Kung Fu Panda first.
Okay, okay.
Damsel.
Ooh.
And then Imaginary.
Okay.
And then Cabrini.
Gotcha. Very nice. That should be fun times.
Most definitely, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Very nice. All right. So you have nothing else you want to add in?
No, I've got nothing.
All right. In that case, make sure you visit us at Facebook. We're facebook.com/moviesarething. We also are on Twitter and Instagram @moviesarething. No spaces, dashes, slashes, anything like that @moviesarething. We also have a Patreon, patreon.com/moviesarething. If you want to help support the podcast, we do have that over there. Travis.
Yes, sir.
I do believe it is about that time.
Here it comes.
Cue the outro! Thank you for listening to Movies Are a Thing. Be sure to tune in next week for more movies and tangents with us. Very emotional song.
Very emotional.
Emotional damage.
Emotional damage.
Ow.
Sorry.
There we go.
Drum damage.
Emotional damage. There. All right. Travis, would you like to say anything?
Would I like to say anything?
Yes. Remember now, outside voice.
If you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Drink your soda.
Ah, ow.
Brain freeze.
I hurt myself in my own confusion. What are you doing here, star? Star? Look what I can do. Look what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
Never really watched Mad, but that one made it into my YouTube videos. Look what I can do. Look what I can do.
Mm-hmm. I do like Stuart.
So good. So good. So good.
It's so ridiculous, but so good.
Sweet Caroline. Did I watch this one? Oh, I did. Okay. One second. Adult film. So I'm going to put that over where you said porn before.
Okay.
I realize we almost didn't say anything all the way through.
Right.
Oh, dude. Okay. Okay, hold on. hold on, because we still have to do the intro outro to the.
Right.
Oh, that was weird. It's like, air sealed.
Oh.
And so I did that, and it squished.
Mm-hmm.
And then it pressure.
Gotcha. So it felt like, okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't fun. Woo! 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 There. Now I know stuff is there.
Yay!
I got the nice big waveform.
Yay!
Woo!
Woo!
Woo! All right. Ready?
Yep.
Ready? Ready? Ready?